As we are meeting under these coronavirus restrictions, we shall not be singing today, but the hymns will be announced as normal and the organ will play so that we can sing in our hearts, but not audibly. Let us commence with hymn 602. Jesus, the author is of true and living faith. This blessed grace he gives and saves our souls from death. By faith in him we live and view the wonders God alone can do. Hymn 602.
As we read from his word this evening, firstly from the Gospel according to Luke. and chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 18 to verse 32. The Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man, which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now we'll turn to the first epistle of Peter and chapter 2. The first epistle of Peter and chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the King. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We'll leave the reading there. And may the Lord help us each and teach us each how to pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, one that is all powerful, all-knowing and all-seeing. Nothing we can hide from thine eye. Lord, thou searchest the inmost thoughts of our hearts. So, Lord, we come before thee as poor worms of the earth, in the dust, acknowledging our insignificance, acknowledging our unworthiness for the least of thy notice. But, Lord, thou dost look upon us. Thou hast looked upon us. Thou hast been kind and merciful unto us, and we do not deserve it. For, Lord, we are poor, wretched, vile sinners, each one of us, whether we feel it or not. We are. None can stand before a holy God unless we are clothed in that robe of righteousness, unless we are washed in that precious blood, the Lamb of God. Lord, may we know our interest in that precious blood. May we feel it applied unto us. May we feel the Father's love upon us. And may we feel the power of the Holy Spirit as we gather together this evening. Thou knowest how each one gathers. May there be a hunger and a thirst this evening. May there be a need put in the hearts of each one for their soul to be fed. Oh, may it be so. We cannot give ourselves that hungry soul. We cannot soften our own hearts. By nature, we are as dead as the wood of the pews that we sit upon. We are as hard as the walls that we may lean against. But we thank thee, Lord, that as we cannot soften our own hearts, thou canst. May it be so this evening, that seed which is sown may fall on good ground, that those weeds may be removed from our hearts, that those tares may not spring up and swallow that which is sown, but that it may fall on good ground and bear fruit this evening. Thy word is good. We can attempt to sow it in our poor, feeble way. But oh, how dependent we are upon the Holy Spirit this evening to apply it with power. Otherwise, the word spoken will bounce off of the ears. Lord, may it sink deep. May it lodge in the hearts of one and another and do real good. We so need it. Have these times had any effect upon us? The times that we are now in. Have these past few months caused us to consider our standing before an almighty God? Our end? Lord, we are so removed from these things in our culture that we live in. Lord, but thou canst quicken us and cause us to ponder these things.
How stands the case, my soul, with thee? We thank thee, Lord, for these past few months, that despite being unable to worship in thy house, we have, in one way and another, heard thy word. And we truly believe and know that it has been good for one and another, and that souls have been fed and blessed. We thank thee for it. But we now gather once again in thy courts. We still have thy judgments upon us, which we must tremble at. But we thank thee, truly thank thee, that we can gather again. Lord, thy mercies are great upon us. But thy judgments, may we never forget, are upon us also. And we pray for our land and our nation. What solemn times these are. Lord, do work in the hearts of those that lead us, that they may acknowledge thee in that which they do. They only look to the hand of man and will not acknowledge thy hand in these things. Lord, turn them, we beg. May there be that working in their hearts. But we thank thee that thou canst use even wicked leaders. Thou art in control of even them. Lord, may we see thy hand upon them, whether they know it or not. Lord, may the laws of this land once more be compatible with the laws of thy word. For without that as their guidance, all they are looking to is the fickle thoughts of man. There is no stability, there is no certainty. One man will think one thing, one will think another. May our eyes be fixed on thee for wisdom, looking to thy word for guidance, that once more we may be a land of the Bible. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Even as we pray it, we feel that dreadful sin of unbelief creep up within our hearts, thinking these things cannot be. But we know, Lord, that thou art in control of everything. We plead, Lord, that these may be a time of renewing and refreshing in our own hearts personally, above all. In the church that gathers here, and in the churches where thy word is faithfully preached up and down this land, and in our nation as a whole. We are much cast down in our land as we look upon it, but we must not forget that thou art still working in other lands of the world. Thy hand is still seen in other parts. There is a great hunger and a thirst for thy word. Thy work is not finished yet. But in wrath, remember mercy and look upon this poor land again, Lord, we beg. May it be so. Do be with each one here this evening. From the youngest to the oldest, none are too young or too old to hear thy word. May there be that which does them good. Those in paths of difficulty, in providence or in grace, Lord, appear for them. Lord, those who have much before them in the coming week and they know not what to do, appear for them. Those, Lord, in their souls, where they can see thy working, Lord, feel thy hand working in them. May they feel it still. May they not become cold. May their chief aim be to see Jesus only. May that be our desire, to know thee, the only true God. And those who humbly hope they have known a little of it, may it be our desire to know thee more, to know more of thy precious attributes, to know more of thy love, to know more of thy great gifts upon poor unworthy sinners. Lord, do be with us this evening also, as we seek to gather round thy table once more, to carry out that ordinance of the Lord's Supper. One of those things that we have been unable to do for a few months now. One of those things that we have greatly missed. And one of those things that is vitally important for the church. To remember thee, to remember thy sufferings, to remember thy broken body, to remember thy spilt blood. But Lord, it was no accident. Every drop is for the sins of thy people. Lord, may we know our interest in it. May we feel our interest in it this evening. Lord, we desire and beg to know more than sign, to feel thy power in it also, applied to our hearts. Help us each, Lord, now, as we gather together. May we feel a real unity around thy word this evening. May we feel it applied unto us. O Lord, quicken us each. Do we beg, liven us each. Give us a hunger, Lord. And may we see the true depths of the mysteries contained in thy word, the sweetness of thy promises, the unchangeableness of thy covenant love, and that thy word changes not. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is what we plead and look upon. Remember those in distress. Remember thy people in this world who suffer great persecution. We know not how long we will be spared it in this land, for we fear, Lord, and have feared before this time that our liberties would be removed through persecution. But not so, Lord, yet. But we know not when that will be, or if it will be. But if it is, give us grace to continue. As we often see through various parts of the world, those that are persecuted, how they often grow. How they often grow. Lord, help us each to grow, to be lively, to see thee. But Lord, we are in great need once again. We cannot do anything without thy power and thy might and thy help. We cannot utter one word aright. So we greatly need thee, as the hearers before us do also. May we pray one for another. And may we feel that unity in our prayers now. Lord, for that love for the brethren is a gift. Lord, do give it unto us. Do forgive all that is amiss in our prayers this evening. For we have to prove that sin is mixed with all we do. But Lord, do cover anything that we have spoken amiss. The groanings of the heart, Lord, thou dost hear. Those inaudible prayers, the thoughts and deep feelings of the heart, thou dost acknowledge. Lord, hear and answer prayer this evening, and come down, dwell with us, bless us with thy presence this evening. May we feel it, Lord, we beg. We ask these things for thy dear name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 634. 634. when saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast, while Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Complete dependence once again upon the Lord for all needed help. I'll draw your attention to the chapter that we read in the first epistle of Peter, and chapter 2 and verse 24, but we'll read from verse 21 to the end. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, we'll read verse 24, but we'll read from verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called,
because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, we have in this chapter before us this evening some very sacred and precious truths. The first part of this chapter, we have the apostle exhorting those in the early church to be sincere, to lay aside that which was wrong in the sight of God. He reveals unto them their privileges. He seeks them to abstain from fleshly lusts and to promote God's glory. And almost as we go through the chapter, it becomes higher and higher, doesn't it, in that which he says unto us. Much teaching in this chapter also. My eyes fall upon that verse 13, which is so relevant to the times that we are in. And I do not want to speak on these things for long, but submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. It's been much on my mind these few months we have been in. Are we right in not going to chapel? And I believe we have done what is right. We were not persecuted. That was not the reason why we could not worship anymore. It was for reasons of health and welfare. We must and should submit ourselves to every ordinance of man, those that are in authority over us, except if they command us to do something the word of God forbids, or forbid us to do something the word of God commands. We have those words of Paul in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, He does not contradict himself, but in Acts chapter 5 and 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." But that's because they were commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. They were commanded not to do something which the word of God had told them to do. And we're to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Not for man's sake, for the Lord's sake. But as I said, I do not want to get drawn aside on these things, because there is precious food for dying souls in our text this evening. Sometimes I think, do we really read the Word of God? The minister stands up, announces a text. Do those words really mean anything to us? Maybe we should read it again. Who, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. The sufferings of Christ, the love of Christ, the mercy shown to poor, unworthy sinners. His own self bare our sins. Well, who are those our quoted in our text? Who his own self bare our sins? Surely that is one of the key points. That is the key point. Because it is personal. It's no good knowing if he bare our neighbour's sins. That won't save us at last. Who his own self bare our sins. Well, who did he come to this earth to save? As I read in that portion of Luke, that tells us, doesn't it? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's who he came, dear friends. That's the hour in it, our text. Those who feel themselves as poor, unworthy sinners. That poor man with the palsy, or paralysis as we would know it now. Jesus saw their faith. He said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Let's read that again, shall we? And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. You may say, well, why have you read it twice? Because I think sometimes we think this verse is the wrong way round. It doesn't say, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Then they got their faith. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. They put their trust in this man. They brought this sick man. They lowered him down. They were desperate. They went up on that housetop. They took off what would have been probably straw and clay, whatever it was, to get this man in. He saw their faith and said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The blessing was after the faith. The forgiveness of their sins was after the faith. But praise the Lord, we cannot give ourselves that faith. We cannot give ourselves anything that is good. It is only the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can give us any faith. He saw their faith. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. It's also quite marked, dear friends, who Jesus on this earth mingled with. He went to Levi. He saw a publican, a tax collector, named Levi. He said unto him, "Follow me." Now, we don't know much about this man Levi, do we? What had he done to merit Jesus coming to him? Nothing. But it had been preordained before the beginning of time that Jesus would walk along that way. He would see that one sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Now these publicans, these tax collectors, were despised men in those times. They were, many of them, dishonest. They collect taxes, and being under Roman rule, they worked almost on a commission basis. I believe they collected taxes, they had a quota, as it were, of taxes to collect, and anything above that, they could keep a percentage for themselves. This often made them dishonest as they sought more money. But Jesus sat down with them. He sat down with sinners and publicans. What had they done to deserve it? That's what troubled the scribes and the Pharisees. Those who thought themselves righteous and upright in their own eyes. And then those sweet words, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." So poor, sin-sick soul. Poor sinner, burdened with your load. That's the hour in our text. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. The start of verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called." Those that have been called out. Those that the Lord has spoken to. Those that the Lord has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." We don't seek rest unless we are tired, unless we are bowed down, unless we know our sins. And when we may have those sins revealed unto us, where does it bring us? It brings us to that point of confession. It brings us to our knees confessing our sins. And if we confess our sins, he is righteous and just to forgive us our sins. Who his own self bare our sins. Yes, even your sins. Even your sins. Even your great mountain of sin are not too great for him to bear. His own self bear our sins. how the devil can get in. I speak now to those who trust they have felt their interest in this precious blood. How the devil tempts us. The devil will say to us, well, if you were truly a child of God, would you be doing this? Would you be feeling that? Surely you are too bad. Surely you have backslidden too much. The devil knows that he cannot take away our interest in this body that has hung on the tree. But what he will try and do, dear friend, is rob you of your hope, rob you of your trust. He will get you to look in on yourself, and we must and should have that right examination. But pore not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. We feel our wretchedness, don't we? We feel our sinfulness, and we will do all our days, all our day long. That's what the Apostle Paul felt, and that's what I often feel, and the verse that I am so often feel to be in. At the end of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Is that where you feel to be this evening? That's where you feel to be. That's where you feel. You do not feel what you want to feel. You may not feel the sweetness that you once have felt. You desire to feel more of it. Well, that hymn writer said, true religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And when we feel so wretched, so cast down, what do we have to fall back on? That which we know. That's what the Apostle Paul did here. He felt to be so wretched. But he didn't linger on that too long, did he? This is what he knew. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. The devil is so crafty. He will rob us, or try to, of all our comfort in Jesus. This one, who his own self bare our sins. And if we trust our sins, or if we did trust, poor doubting soul, that your sins were borne by that body, do you think they can be unborn, I was going to say, if that's such a word? But you know what I mean. If he has borne our sins, he has borne our sins. I don't know how else to say it. That which he has carried out, he will continue. None will be left behind at that great day, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Shortly, we will be coming to the Lord's table to remember the sufferings of Christ. Sometimes I wonder whether we truly make a big enough thing of this service. Sometimes, and I speak for myself, it feels like maybe we just tack it on to the end of a normal Lord's Day. If we really consider, by faith, the sufferings of Christ. Oh, what love. What love. What love to poor unworthy sinners. Bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That precious Saviour, in his incarnation, one person, two natures, truly God and truly man. The preciousness of these things. Now, I am not a very learned man, but this one who bore our sins in his own body, I feel it is clear that he is truly God and truly man. He must suffer in our place and stead. And my thoughts go to that portion in Hebrews, if I can turn to it. Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, that which had sinned, me, you, as human beings. It is imperative that he came to this earth to suffer as a true man. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. This Son of God, truly man, in body and in soul, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that he might bear our sins in our body and in our soul. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He is a loving Saviour. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. He knew what it was to be on this earth, and to hunger, and to thirst, to sweat, and to suffer in his human flesh. He knew what it was to weep and to mourn and to sorrow. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. That same, we are flesh, we are men and women, and as we have sinned, that sacrifice must be of the same. That same human nature that sinned had to pay the price for that sin. But he is truly God also. If you, dear friend, have had a little measure of your sin and iniquity revealed unto you, what did it do? It troubled you. Some will feel the work of the law more than others. Some will feel almost crushed by the burden of their sin. How could a mere man bear the weight of my sins, let alone the weight of all your sins, yet alone the weight of all the sins of this world. We think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. If this cup pass from me, he said, he sweat those great drops of blood, the pressure, the weight of that burden of all his people's sins placed upon his back caused him to sweat great drops of blood. His own body. But he could bear that. He could bear it. For he was also truly God, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He could bear the weight of God's anger. He suffered in our place and stead. If he was a mere man, he could not rise again, could he? But we put our trust in a risen Saviour, in one that now sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for his people. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives to still his people's fears. He lives to wipe away their tears. He lives to calm their troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives all glory to his name. He lives unchangeably the same. He lives their mansions to prepare. He lives to bring them safely there. That work which has begun must be carried on. We put our trust in a risen Saviour, who his own self bare our sins in his own body, that we, being dead to sins, should live. That we, being dead to sins, should live. There is that constant battle within the hearts of a living child of God. That hymn that goes something along the lines, where there are those two armies within. The old man, the new man of grace, and the old man of sin. There will be that battle all our days long. But there will be that great victory. There will be that final victory, that victory over death. None can fall away. None can escape or be drawn away by Satan. God is more powerful than the evil one. Death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The righteousness of one, the free gift. The free gift, that which is so undeserved. That free gift which that tax collector felt when he heard those words, "Follow me." that free gift that that man, as he was lowered through that ceiling, heard, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That free gift which we trust you and I have heard, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The righteousness of one, the righteousness of that one who in his own body bore our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Once in him forever. If he has borne our sins in his own body on the tree, we are adopted into that family of God. We are as sons. We are taken into that family. Not that we deserved it. Not that we did anything to merit it. But we are as one with Christ. We are as one that suffered with him. We are as one which was buried with him. We are as one that rises with him. And we will be as one at that great day, glorified with him. That great day of the resurrection, when we humbly trust and hope and beg that we will see his glory face to face. His own self bear our sins in his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That family of Christ. And I think it speaks of it and probably puts it into better words in the beginning of the Gospel of John. Those words there. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Many as received him by faith and faith alone, to them gave he power, or as the margin says here, the right or the privilege to become the sons of God. And what a right and what a privilege it is. It almost is beyond our comprehension, isn't it? Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. When we sin and sin and sin again, oh, it troubles us, but that love is the same. Adopted into that family of Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The sons of God and the daughters of God. That family of Christ. Precious truths. Oh, that we could enter more into them. See more of the beauty in them. Of that one who bare our sins in his own body. That body that suffered so greatly. That body that suffered great pains. That soul that was so bowed down. Who uttered those words, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. An unspeakable, unfathomable depth of suffering for his dear people. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray. I was a poor wandering sheep. Were you fleeing from that sheepfold? When you got out of your parents' grasp, were you as the sheep going astray? You may not have physically left the house of God, but you may have done in your head. How many times have you sat in the pew, and you may as well have been sitting at home? I speak for myself, not for you. Ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That loving shepherd, has he drawn you back into that sheepfold? None of his sheep can come to harm. They may fall down, as I said this morning. They may get caught up and bleat for the shepherd to save them. But if we are one of Christ's sheep, we will return. Have we returned by his grace? Has he drawn us back? Has he carried you back in his tender arms and said, poor sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee? Has he carried you through your journey? The rough place that you have been in, the troubles that you have been in, has it brought you into union with that shepherd? Has it caused you to return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls? When we in ourselves feel to be strong, we gamble through the fields, don't we? We skip along happily through life. When troubles come, we need that shepherd. That shepherd of his sheep, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. My thoughts go to that hymn at the end of the book. And may I ask you each this question this evening? What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. But it's that last verse, isn't it? If asked what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are poor, I say he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store. My shepherd, my husband, my friend, my saviour from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. If we know him as our shepherd, our husband, our friend, the season will be sweet with us. If we know him as our life and our strength and our store, we are putting our hope in the right place, in this one who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Do we know it, dear friends? Do we know it? And if we do, do you long to know more of it? This one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Amen.
The collections received during the past week amounted to £540, for which we're very thankful. And the collections today, if it's still convenient, please use the bank transfer. If you wish to use cash, please put in the boxes at the end of the aisles. And God willing, tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation and with an address by Mr. Pickett. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Fred Ince, God willing, is expected to preach, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Philip Warren at the normal times. And after the benediction, will you kindly listen to the announcement? Hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18. Thank you.
last verse be the desire in the heart of each one this evening. Oh, may I live to reach the place where he unveils his lovely face, where all his beauties you behold, and sing his name to harps of gold. The beauty of that one who has borne our sins in his own body on the tree. Do forgive, dear Lord, all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. Do truly own and bless and apply that which has been of thee. Help us now, as we gather round thy table, to remember those sufferings, to remember that broken body, to remember thy blood. Lord, give us faith to see the beauty in it. Come down and meet with us, Lord, that we may be favoured with thy presence as we gather together to commemorate thy sufferings in the way that we should. Be with those that stay, Lord. Give them that longing in their heart to partake of these things. Be with those that now may go home. Lord, may they ponder on these things. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.
All those who wish to stay and witness the Lord's Supper are welcome to do so, remaining in their seats. The church members will also remain in their seats, and those who wish to leave are welcome to do so. And in order to ensure social distances, please would you leave the chapel in the following manner. The left side exits through the door beside the pulpit and then the rear entrance, and the right side exits through the main entrance as usual and the gallery to exit after the left side has gone. Please exit in sequence, starting with the seat nearest the exit, and please keep social distance of 2 metres and use hand sanitizer at the exit. And after exiting, please do not congregate, but please keep apart.